ओम शांति। All of us enjoy the blessings that Baba shares with us each day in the Murali very much, and of course they are very beautiful, and when we practice them in our life becomes extraordinarily beautiful also. But for some time I've appreciated very much the slogan that comes with each Murali. And I'm always amazed at how much profound gyan there is filled within one little sentence. It's just one little sentence, and yet it encapsulates so much gyan within itself. And so today, when I was reading the slogan, I thought that's what I'd like to take up this morning. And so that's how the title came about, being a trustee. Because in the slogan, Baba's talked very much about how if you are a trustee of your own mind, then the only thing you will allow within your mind are elevated pure thoughts and good wishes for all. Now, when we first hear this word trustee, at least when I first heard the word trustee, I thought it was more applicable to people living in the household, in the family, and being in the family in that situation, than being able to stay up above. I'm a trustee of my children, I'm a trustee of my home, and so on and so on. And of course, people who do practice that consciousness really attain great benefit from it. In fact, the story of Janak very often reminds us how Baba never called her Janki, the female version, but always called her Janak. And Dadi Nirma Shanta, whenever Dadi Janki would come into the classroom, or whenever Daddy would meet with her somewhere, she would say, Raja Janak, King Janak has come. And so it was a very loving term that she would use. But of course, Baba just said, Janak child. And the story of Janak, there are two particular aspects of the story. And the householder one, I think you may have heard, the sannyasi came knocking on his door and asked, but how do you maintain your stage of detachment in Jivan Mukti whilst living in this palace? And King Janak gave him this little lamp. Okay, go through my whole palace and look at it and come back and tell me what you think of it, but make sure the light doesn't get blown out. And there are long corridors and the wind blows, and so make sure it doesn't get extinguished. And the sannyasi walked through all these corridors, and he was so focused on keeping the light lit, otherwise he'd lose his way and wouldn't know where to go. And so he went through the whole palace, came back, and the king said, what was it like? And he said, but king, I didn't see anything. And the reason being, I was so focused on this little lamp that nothing else mattered. And so King Janak said, well, that's my secret. I stay in this place, but I just keep this light lit and I focus on that. And so definitely living in the world and yet not being impacted by the world, not being influenced by the world, that's a trustee. And so that awareness that nothing belongs to me, that it all belongs to the one above, and I'm simply holding it in trust. In a Lokic way, if you're a trustee of something, it means you've been given something to hold and safeguard and keep for another. And that applies absolutely. When I begin to think of myself as a trustee, they're not just children and house and family, etc., etc., but first and foremost, this house in which I live. Until today, nobody else has been able to create a human body with all the intricacies that it contains. And Baba would also say, I didn't make it, it's drama, which is fine. But still, the one who is acknowledged as the creator, the holder of the universe, the sustainer, the supreme. And so, this body isn't mine. It's been given to me in trust. And so, how do I care for it? How do I look after it? How do I sustain it? Am I knowledgeable about this? Or am I ignorant about this? In Laukik life, of course, very often, on the one side, we've been very attached to it, but on the other side, we've also abused it in a number of different ways, whether it was through addictions or whether it was indulgence, whatever it may have been. But coming to Baba, very quickly, those past habits break and we become free. And yet, even as a Brahmin, I've heard Baba speak to a couple of people over the years, in the days that we used to have personal meetings with Baba, and Baba would say to them, one particular was a very senior yogi, and Baba said to him, you've been very knowledgeable, but you haven't been knowledgeable about your own body. And then there was another sister, not as senior, but quite an important figure in her region, and again, they discovered a major illness that was quite advanced. And again, Baba said to her, how come you didn't think about caring for your body? And so it's very interesting because Baba's not saying body consciousness and forget everything. Baba's saying be a trustee. Yes, when I'm in yoga, nothing but nothing should distract me. That's a fact. And if I'm so attached in the sense that I haven't properly understood my own spiritual identity, then my identity is totally influenced by this and all the experiences of this. And so I can't separate myself, and so soul consciousness to that extent, but soul consciousness in another way, I, the trustee of this. And so am I able to care for it as a trustee in the way that I need to? Sakar Baba was incredible in the sense that Baba knew about food and exercise and home remedies and all sorts of things. Baba was also a great psychologist. And so Baba would tell Dadi Janki when she was a nurse, well, all this person needs is tender, loving care. That's it. Doesn't need anything else. And in other situations, Baba would prescribe very simple home remedies and the person would get well. And sometimes Baba would say, in fact, this person just needs clear instructions of what to do. They're confused. So whatever it is, Baba would know. And Baba would be able to treat that individual. But Baba knows, do I know how to care for this so that then it's able to support me in my spiritual journey? Because that's essentially what I'm interested in. And if it's going to interfere in my gyan, in my yoga, in my seva, then I need to sort things out and put things right. So a trustee of this, and the detail of that is pretty clear. But never mind household, never mind family, even the body, but even the task I've been entrusted with, and the word trust again comes in, trustee, trust. So whatever task I've been entrusted with in Baba's yagya, am I doing it as a trustee? Which again is the paradox of both sides, in that I give it my full attention and do it sincerely with love. And I take it as my responsibility. And yet, at the same time, I also know that it's not my responsibility. You can see how slippery that little track is. Very easy to get so engrossed and absorbed by the task that I say it's mine, and yes, I'm trying to do it with responsibility and with love, but yet I personally have associated my identity with this, and so my happiness depends on this. How often has it been that on a field of service we've said that I'm not given any responsibility, and so this is why I can't progress, I can't be happy. But what Baba's asking us to do is to separate the inner happiness from everything, and that really means everything outside, including a role in service. Because if I'm concerned about being given responsibility for a task or for service, let me ask myself very deeply, am I still connecting myself with a role in service? And if I'm connecting myself with that role, then definitely when praise comes, I'll be elated, and when people are not so happy, and there'll always be situations where someone's not happy, but it means that when I get that sort of feedback, I'll cause myself distress. They don't mean to give me distress, but I'll cause myself distress at that moment. And so you can see how slippery this is. I'm responsible, and yes, Baba said, serve with your bones. And literally you see the dadis melting away in front of your eyes. Dadis, both dadis, Daddy Janki's really shrunk. And Daddy Gulzar also, when you see her earlier photographs and you see her now, again you see this tremendous change. And whether it's physical health, whether it's age, whatever it may be, but certainly there's a difference. But really, they have given their bones to Baba and the yagya, and yet they have never ever held on to any consciousness of a title. When Daddy Kumarka passed away and Daddy Janki had a phone call from somebody a few hours later, because we had the cremation, and then in the afternoon the managing committee of Madhuban met together and did whatever was the protocol necessary according to an institution, an organization, and Daddy Janki was the one next in line, and so age 99 she takes on a new role. Can you believe it? A new job, age 99, age 91, sorry, she's 91. Now she's 99, so age 91 she takes on a new job. And somebody phoned her a few hours later to congratulate her. And she said, I don't know what you're talking about. It's Baba's work, the yagya continues. She did not accept any aspect of congratulations. And even today, really, it's a title just on paper. But mentally, she's doing the work that she's always done of giving spiritual sustenance. And when she went to London, Nobody gave her the title of foreign director. Again, she just continued to churn gyan, continued to have her link with Baba, and whatever came in front of her, she was available to do that. In early days, it was basically cooking. Did you know that? In Tennyson Road? Daddy used to read early in the morning, then through the days. Sudeshpan and myself were giving courses, and of course it was English. And Daddy was in the kitchen cooking. And even a person like Wadi from Miami, when she first saw Daddy, she had no idea of who Daddy is in the sense of position. And then, of course, you get to know the person, you get to know their incredible stage and their treasures, and your vision begins to understand who they really are. But this is my point, that no title, no role, no position. Just simply being available for Baba. A trustee, yes, it's my yajna and there's service to be done and it's come in front of me. Let me do whatever it is I can. And it means that if a moment comes when, for whatever reason, I can't do that service, there's somebody more qualified than me, there's somebody who's got more experience, or maybe I don't have the stamina or the health to be able to do something, and I can't play that role anymore. And at that moment, it's okay. It's okay. Every scene in the drama is beneficial. A trustee. And so, engagement in Baba's work, in Baba's service, but yet still knowing that it's his task, and whether it's me or whether it's another, the important thing is that Baba will get the task done. And if I'm available, and if I am able, then it's my fortune and I can do whatever it is I can. But if not this way, another way. There'll always be a way to create fortune. There's never a moment when Sangam Yuk says, no, you can't create fortune anymore. And so not even attached to service, being a trustee of the role I play in service. A lot of challenges arise in Brahmin life because we get attached to the role in service. Well, I've been doing this for X years, and so how come I can't carry on doing it? Or why is it that so-and-so can do this and I'm not allowed to do this? But Baba says, detach, detach, detach. Trustee. It's Baba's job. It's Baba's work. And Baba's going to find a way to make it happen and get it all done. And I also am Baba's child. And so all the resources that I have, all of that is also available to Baba so that Baba can use them, because they are. They belong to Baba. Imagine being a trustee. Now, take it more and more on the inner level. Never mind role, never mind service, but trustee of my mind, like today Baba said. How can I surrender my mind to Baba in such a way that it no longer is mine, and I am simply a trustee? I want to go back to, in fact, a story that comes earlier than this story I related about King Janak and the lamp that was lit. And the first story actually tells us about the surrender of the mind. And the story goes, and it's coming in really often, but sometimes we get to hear the details, sometimes we don't. But King Janak always has been remembered as the model, the example of being a trustee. So a good story to take up. And the story tells us that King Janak wanted to attain liberation in life, and he couldn't understand how to do this from all the things he was doing, the scriptures, the rituals, etc., etc. So he called a gathering of sages. And these sages came together and they had a discussion. How can we help King Janak experience Jivan Mukti, liberation in life? And lots of discussions when scholars get together, it's a lot of talking that happens. And nothing was coming out that made sense to King Janak. Meanwhile, what had happened was that at the door was this person who was crippled in 8 different places. Imagine your neck, your back, your arms, your shoulders, everything being twisted, crippled. So Ashtravakar, that was his name, the person with 8 different places where he was crippled. So he turns up at the door, and of course they won't let him in. This is for the scholars, it's not for you. And yet of course he finds the way to convince them, and he comes storming in and he tells the king that as soon as he enters, all the scholars laugh because they see his misshapen form. And he tells the king, well, I'm thinking that these people are not really scholars, because they're seeing the skin, they're not seeing the soul. And so these are cobblers, people who work with leather, people who work with skin. they're not scholars at all. And so the king is interested, wants to listen. Okay, speak. And he says, I can show you the way to have Jivan Mukti, but you have to come into the courtyard. And so they go into the courtyard, and he tells the king, okay, all you have to do is to simply internally really be very, very clear that the first step is to surrender everything that you have to God. And then you can have Jivan Mukti. And the king thinks about it and says, yes, I'm ready to surrender everything that I have, because this has been my desire for so long, Jivan Mukti. And then this Ashravakar says, okay, now go to the furthest point in this kingdom. And habit kicks in, and the king calls for his horse, and he's about to jump on his horse and ride off to the furthest point in the kingdom. And Ashravaka says, hey, hold on, the horse doesn't belong to you. Remember, a minute ago you surrendered it. And so on the one side we say we've surrendered, and yet on the other side, today Baba was reminding us that the most subtle asset that you have is your mind. And although it's the most subtle, it's also one of the most powerful. Not the most powerful, but one of the most powerful. And how come, if I say I'm surrendered, how come I'm using it without permission from the one to whom it belongs? And that one simple statement from Ashravakar helped the king understand what it means to surrender, and how it's only by surrendering your mind and then taking instructions from the one who's up above, that then you can experience liberation in life. And so if I want to experience the fruits of Sangam Yoga, the happiness, the love, the joy, the power, all of this is available. And yet, if for some reason this isn't my experience, well, let me track it back and see what is it that's missing. And I'll be very easily able to see that probably the thing that's happened is I haven't surrendered my mind. Easy? Easy in words. Not so easy in practice. Because the mind has a will of its own. It goes off here and there and is wild. But also because I've never tried practicing handing it over. And the other aspect of the surrender, and I said it's one of the most powerful things. And so, trustee, my mind doesn't belong to me. I've given it to God. I am now a trustee of my own mind. But together with that, the Gita has a very interesting analogy of why Arjuna became Arjuna. Arjuna, the one who took responsibility and the one who was able to have God give him guidance at every step, the one who was able to attain victory finally. And Arjuna symbolizes all of us, and yet on the other side, again a paradox, it's the image for all of us that Arjuna is actually also Brahma Baba. And so the number one, the one for whom there's a guarantee, total victory, Brahma Baba. But what is it that Arjuna did that enabled him to make God his constant companion? And then through that, of course, it really. And Baba's offering all of us that opportunity. How many Muralis have you heard, Sakar and Avyakt, in which Baba is saying, I am your companion. All you have to do is remember that. If you remember I'm your companion, then I'm there with you. And of course, our mind slips away to other company and other companions, and we don't remember that. But what Arjuna did was to hand over the reins of his horses, of his chariot, to God. That's all he did. That's it. That one simple act of handing over the reins of his horses to God, and that created the whole pattern by which God was able to guide him, give him his company, give him his support, and finally lead him to victory. If God hadn't been giving him instructions step by step, step by step, this is happening, what shall I do? Now what shall I do? Now what shall I do? And God is giving all those answers. So the Bhakti Gita is actually this dialogue, 18 chapters of a dialogue between Arjuna and what's going on in his inner world and what God is saying to him and the replies to him. And I'm not advocating that you go pick up the Bhakti Gita because it's not very clear. Everything is there, but it's like encrypted. Even after a few years of Raj Yoga and I picked up the Bhakti Gita before Gyan, I'd never done any Bhakti, so I'd never picked up the Gita before Gyan. But after a few years in Gyan, I thought I should at least pick it up and see what it's about. Baba's talking about it so much. And I had to just put it aside. Couldn't understand anything. The words were there because it was an English translation. I didn't know Sanskrit, so it was the English translation. But I was reading the words, but even with Gyan, I couldn't understand it. Then, another few years later, then again, I was in a country where it was just bhakti, 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 and I was being taken to all these temples, Guyana. And anyone here from the Caribbean? So lots of temples, so lots of temples and lots of service in the temples. And I thought, you know, before I trip up and say things that people challenge me on, I'd better understand what's going on with the bhakti things. So again, I picked it up, and now I could see what it is that had caused me the confusion earlier and what it is Baba's Gyan was so clear about. But my point is that this dialogue that's then being presented and remembered in bhakti as the song divine, the Gita, Arjuna is going through all the experiences that any one of us go through. You know, the first, all these are my relatives. How can I fight them? How can I be on a battlefield against them? And God's saying, but they're dead already. Why? Because everybody's caught up with all the negativity and all the forces of evil. And we come to Baba, and the first thing, most often, not always, but generally, you're challenged by those who are closest to you. Did that happen to you? A good number. And so, Baba's instruction, see the soul, you are the living, immortal soul. See them as souls, don't see them as bodies. And then, the courage to begin the battle. And of course, the battle is not against my relatives, but my battle is against the vices. And the Gita describes that very clearly. The biggest enemy is the commander of the lot, lust and then anger and so on and so on. But why I'm sharing this story is to remind us that what Arjuna did was hand over the reins of the horses to God. The buddhi is the gift that God has given me. Before I came to Baba, my buddhi didn't even, the intellect didn't even have the capacity to know right from wrong. And it's only when I belonged to Baba that I could then begin to understand right, wrong, black, white, sin, charity, all of this. And so the divine intellect that Baba has given all of us is a gift from Baba. And then up to us to make sure that it remains clean, unpolluted, clear, sparkling. And the divine intellect is the power with which to discipline the horses. And so, yes, I'm surrendering my mind. But more than that, I have to surrender my intellect. And the surrender of the intellect actually is simple. It's not complicated. And when I begin to see surrender in this way, then the question of whether I live in my Laukik household, or whether I live in a center, or whether I have a full-time job, or I'm doing Baba's work, it's irrelevant. Why? Because the surrender of the buddhi means now it's no more me making my own decisions, but it's me checking with Baba. And again, it's not just me quietly saying, God, what do you want me to do? And then letting my mind dictate because I want to do something, and then saying, well, God told me do X, Y, Z. This is why Baba is so explicit in the Sakar Muralis, that it's not instructions in silence from up above. it's very clear information about Srimat that God gives through the Murali. And so when I decide I'm going to start following Srimat, that is my surrender. And Srimat is the basic principles that we follow, but also Srimat gets more and more and more subtle. And the more I stay connected with Baba, and the more attention I give to the Murali, the more I understand what is it that Baba is saying to me that I need to do at this moment. And so being a trustee, and usually in Hindi they say tano mana dhan, body, mind and wealth. Yes, of course, I have to be a trustee of my body, and yes, definitely, I have to be a trustee of my wealth, otherwise it's going to go into all sorts of avenues which are either wasteful or worse, sinful. Early days in London, and people would actually give their accounts to Daddy. And early days again, English class was about 20 people hearing the English Murali and Daddy speaking, and they would get translation. And it would be about 5 people in the Hindi class. And the Hindi class people were all family people, and the English class students were all single. And after that, things have changed, and the proportion has also changed considerably. But at that time, the sort of sustenance we got, and the sort of sustenance and training I got from being a fly on the wall and translating for Daddy, was quite incredible. Very, very detailed. I'll give you a simple example. And of course, it wouldn't be new students that Daddy would be speaking to. When she would meet new students, and Daddy's often share the story of how she told Denise the very first day, okay, bring me a list of the points of body consciousness and the points of soul consciousness. Daddy shared that often. So she would meet new students first day, their fortune. And maybe that's what made them become Brahmins at those days. But once they were regular Murali students, definitely she would sit with them and she would ask them, not body consciousness, not shy and not imposing, but you want to have a yogi life? Yes? Okay, then these are the steps that you need to pay attention to. And then it's totally up to you, but these are the steps. And within that, one of the steps would be, what is your income? Tell me. And they wouldn't be shy, they would tell her, how much do you save every month? And that would totally throw them. They would know their income, they wouldn't know how much savings they had, they wouldn't know how much they spend every month. And Daddy would say, how come? And, I mean, you're very aware of the situation, and of course I'm talking about the 70s, and after that things have got worse and worse and worse, and now it's not even plastic cards that you carry around, it's just all figures in cyberspace. That's nothing, actually, that you hold on to. It's all cyberspace. So Daddy would say to them, if you want to follow Baba's instructions, then you must at least know what you have and then what you're going to do with it, so that nothing goes to waste. Yes, you're able to look after yourself comfortably, well, and sustain yourself, but you should never be in a position where you don't have savings and you become dependent on others. very practical. So first know what you have. Where does your money go? So never mind God's srimat, just even practical, basic common sense from a grandmother. She was already, in terms of age, their grandmother. But like a grandmother would sit and tell a grandchild, you know, basic skills for living. And now, of course, children don't have that sort of relationship with their grandparents anymore. There just isn't that intimacy and closeness most times, so it doesn't happen. But my point that Srimat has been given to us for absolutely everything. Why? So that I understand what it is God wants for me and look at it a little bit differently. What is it that God wants for me? One thing. Today Baba said it again and again and again and again. God wants me to become pure so that I can be a deity again. Now for the whole wide world, God wants everyone to be pure and God wants everyone to have peace and happiness. What else does God want? Doesn't need anything for himself. He doesn't even need any bhakti. Doesn't need us to bow down to him or worship him or anything. But just his pure, pure love for us. He wants us to come back to our stage of purity. My body, what I do with it is karma. My wealth, what I do with it is karma. And the process of purification is the process of settling karma. And being a trustee means when I hold it in my mind that this comes from God, this belongs to God, I have to follow God's directions. It's not going to benefit God in any way, but it's going to benefit me. This is why the other statement from the Murali that kept coming and striking me was, have mercy on yourself, bring benefit to yourself. Now, whatever Baba Srimat is for me to understand and apply so that then there's benefit for me. Very interesting, many aspects of that in the Murali today. What do I do? Stop giving sorrow. What do I do? Give respect. Help others. And it's going to be of benefit to me. I'm not doing anybody else a favor, but I'm transforming my own devilish sanskars and creating the pure deity sanskars that are going to bring me happiness in my life. And so the trustee of wealth, the srimat that God has given, so that my fortune is created for the future, the trustee of the mind, and so trustee of the mind, Baba is saying, have nothing but good wishes for others. Now, am I genuinely able to do that? I'll really only be able to do that when the divine intellect, and I've surrendered my intellect to Baba, and so when the divine intellect is awake and alert and in charge. When the divine intellect is in charge, then the wild horses will be tamed. And the horses will go in the direction that the buddhi decides. Not simply because of habit. So often it's habit that takes us off in other directions. And it's connected also with the surrender of my own experiences and the my that's associated with that. What is it that's blocking me from having good wishes for all. And when I don't know somebody, and I can send good wishes to the whole wide world, people in Africa, people in Asia, it's fine. But when it's somebody I'm interacting with on a day-to-day basis, and there are things that are happening continually that keep rubbing me up the wrong way, now, am I able to have nothing but good wishes? And so, this is what Baba's asking me to do. And it means that I have to clean out whatever it is I'm holding in my heart, in my mind, against them. What they said, what they did to me, the past, the story, or even what they, and then sometimes people say, well, I could forgive the past, but it's not just the past, it's continuing at the present moment. And so what am I going to do? Come to the stage of having nothing but good wishes when they have changed and they've stopped doing whatever it is they're doing? I don't know. When they're going to change? That's the difficulty. And maybe they'll still be like that in 10 years' time. I don't know. But what I can do is understand deeply what I need to change in myself. I cannot control the speed at which they're going to change, or even if at all. But I can change what I'm doing inside myself, which means my memories, my experiences, I have to teach myself with Baba's help to let go of that, and the surrender of the intellect, so that the intellect is able to have God's power. If the intellect is my intellect, it'll be limited. But if my intellect is surrendered to Baba, and I'm a trustee of my intellect, then my intellect has direct access to the light, the might, the truth, the power, everything that is there within Baba. And if I fill myself with all of that, then yes, I can let go. Even the past, but also, importantly, now. I'm seeing what they're saying and what they're doing, and I'm letting go. So that then my mind, my heart remains clean. And in that stage, yes, then I can have good wishes for them, and I can have respect for them. And then the relationship will become a very different one. I don't know how long it'll take, but definitely it'll change, because my reactions are not happening in that way anymore, and what I'm doing now is good karma, pure karma, giving. And so in that stage, yes, a trustee of my own mind, and then nothing but good wishes. So the surrender of my own experiences, which actually also means surrender of my sanskars. Avyakt Baba plays with this a lot. And Baba has said how you can't say my sanskars. Your original sanskars are your divine sanskars, the ones that you were given as a gift from God, the deity sanskars. And these other sanskars are actually Ravan's sanskars. They're the sanskars of the devil. And so be very clear. I say, well, what can I do? My sanskars. And, you know, we use it in such a simple way as if it's no big deal. But it is a big deal. I'm saying I'm surrendered to God, and then I'm saying my sanskars. It doesn't tally. I'm supposed to have surrendered my sanskars to Baba. And so Baba's reminding me, you are a trustee. You have surrendered all of that, everything that is there within you, to God. And then what God does is, just like with wealth, God doesn't keep it in his bank account, he doesn't have one. But I say, I'm going to surrender this, and Baba will say, okay child, use it for a good cause. And Baba will point me in the right direction. He won't take it, but he'll tell me what to do with it. But also, meanwhile, it's meant that my attachment to it has finished. And so trustee means being the conqueror of attachment. It means it's a method to be able to be free from the whole story of my. The I and my position, the I and the ego of that, but also my, the attachments that we have. So, as I said, that one sentence from Baba, and every day the slogan definitely makes me think a lot. The blessing makes me feel very good because it's very beautiful. And then the slogan, it's extremely powerful and it's really nourishment for the intellect. Keep you reflecting and churning all day, but also it gives you the power then to understand and apply jnana in life. So we've been so blessed, so fortunate. We've had so many years of sustenance from 1969 all the way through till now. And of course Baba continues to sustain us, and I think we need to increase the fire of yoga to invoke Baba to see if Baba's going to come. The update is that Daddy Gulzar hasn't left Bombay yet. So who knows, there's still plenty of time. It doesn't take so long to come from Bombay, because now you can get a flight straight from Bombay to land you at 15 minutes drive from Shantivan, literally. So not very far away, but who knows, let's see the drama and hold the thought that drama is benevolent, drama is beneficial, and of course Baba is benevolent and is constantly concerned about our benefit. And so keep your hearts and minds open to accept whatever it is that happens tomorrow, but whatever happens in the next half hour, who knows. But just keep the heart and mind open, but yet at the same time we invoke Baba, so that Baba can very much be with us. Traffic control, and because we wanted to have extra yoga, let's have half an hour's yoga now, and then of course you've got your silence fati again this evening. So yoga is a perfect time to experiment and see, is my intellect totally surrendered to God? And if it is, no, nothing stray, and then the mind will be man manabha, the mind focused on one. Om Shanti.